Wisconsin is in Milwaukee at the Republican State Convention, visiting with 7th District Congressman Sean Duffy. Sean, thanks for talking to Wisconsin I.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
The issue of international trade affects the 7th District in three ways. First of all, Marathon County, ginseng. Ginseng producer leads the nation, maybe the world. That's been, well, update me. Is it the target of tariffs now? Will it be? What's it up?
So first of all, Marathon County grows the premier world ginseng. So we're famous all across Asia because we grow the best ginseng in the world. We also have the highest cranberry production.
I was getting there next.
In the country. Yeah, and so China has put tariffs on both ginseng and cranberries, trying to target President Trump in response to his tariffs on steel and aluminum. Taking a step back, and I've talked to my ginseng growers, and I've talked to the president about this. I've talked to cranberries. I'm very cautious in what's happening, but you have to look at what's happening with trade. I'm a free trade guy, but it has to be fair. So if China puts up barriers of taxes and tariffs on American-produced products, but we open our economy to them and their produced products, that's not fair. And so if we don't deal with China today, and by the way, they steal our technology when American producers are going to manufacture in China, we have to turn over our intellectual property and our patents to the Chinese. That's how they made such strides in technological advancements, catching the U.S. And so if we don't deal with this imbalance and unfair trade today, think about 10 years from now when their economy is that much bigger and their military is that much stronger. We better deal with this problem today or 10 years from now. I would say let's deal with it today. So we're going to have some bumps along the road, but let's make sure it's equitable and it's fair. So if they want to have tariffs, okay, I don't think tariffs are good, but we can have reciprocal tariffs. Otherwise, let's open our economies up. And what that does, for the most part, is if we can manufacture and sell into China and around the world fairly, we have the smartest, the most productive, the hardest working, most innovative people in the world. We'll compete everywhere, and we'll bring our factories back. But the way it is now, we lose our factories, we lose our jobs, and it hurts our families. I want it to help our families, and I think that's the main focus on what we're trying to do on trade. And again, it's going to be a little bumpy, but in the end, we're going to be better off as Americans if this is equitable and fair with China and the rest of the world.
Okay. China has already put in place tariffs on ginseng, Wisconsin ginseng. Yeah. What percentage? And what are your Marathon County growers saying?
Well, so the growers, a lot of the crop was already sold for this year, I believe. One of the concerns is that, you know, there was some outside individuals that were looking at investing in Marathon County ginseng for to add value to that product before it goes out. Well, with tariffs, that added value would only increase the cost of our ginseng. So that's at a pause right now. So that's problematic. And on the cranberry side, you know, we have too many cranberries. We want to make sure we keep our markets open. But for the most part, on both sides, cranberries and ginseng not loving what's happening, but they understand what the president's doing. They understand what he's trying to accomplish, and they want to let him play it out. For the most part, they want to let him play it out as well. So have these folks bailed on the president? No. Are they concerned a little bit? Yes. But they understand what he's trying to do.
Did China hit our two 7th District products with 10% tariffs, 20, 30?
Well, I got it off the top of my head. I don't know what those percents were on the individual tariffs.
Okay. You're a free trader, so this is part of the ebb and flow, give and take here. So you convinced that 5 years from now, how's it going to be resolved?
Listen, it's not free trade right now, though.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, so if you're a free trader, it has to be free trade. It's not fair trade. So free trade isn't one market open, the other market partially closed. So I don't think this is 5 years. I think we are an incredibly important trading partner to China. A lot of people don't recognize this. We're still the largest economy in the world, in the U.S. We're still larger than China. We're important to them. They want to be able to save face, but they also want to resolve this as well. And so I think the president pushing this, I think we'll end up resolving it in a way that's beneficial to the U.S. manufacturer.
Another issue that's important to the 7th District, well, to northern Wisconsin, is wolves. Update us on wolves. You're shaking your head. No progress? No,
so wolves, if you're in the southern part of the state, you might not know this issue as well, but the wolf population has increased dramatically in the northern part of the state and in Minnesota and basically across the whole northern part of our country. And they're devastating our deer herd, our livestock is getting hurt, our pets are dying, and so we want to take them off the endangered species list. Got a bipartisan bill.
Because the federal judge put them back.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, you're right. So what we want to do is take this out of the hands of a federal judge. And by the way, we're agreeing with the Obama administration, who was willing to take them off. And we got to manage the gray wolf. So we have a bill that will resolve this problem. It's bipartisan. I mean, bipartisan in the House and the Senate. Again, this is a regional issue. If you live in Madison and you're not confronted with wolves, you probably don't care, and you might fight us. But if you're up in my neck of the woods, I saw a deer cam a half a mile outside of Wausau. And in the deer cam, you see deer, and then an hour later, you see wolves coming in. So we were close. We thought we might have got it in the omnibus bill. We were close. Nancy Pelosi is objecting to it. My hope is that in the end of the year spending package, we can get the wolves issue resolved.
Fourth issue, important, the seventh, lumber industry. Is it still, how's it doing?
So it's improved. The issue was with our national forests.
Yes.
And how much timber we could take off those forests. But through the Good Neighbor Authority, allowing some of the profits of these sales to be reinvested back in the forests, they've expanded the sales, and the harvest has far improved in the Schwamigan-Nicolet. So that's been beneficial. Now, do I think this is more of a short-term fix? Yeah, but it's going okay right now for our loggers. And you know, when we have a construction boom in America, it's good for forest products. Obviously, the paper side is still problematic, as you see a transition, you know, from newspapers and books to online. That's still an industry that's under pressure. So it's, you know, again, we wanted to make sure that, you know, markets have impacts and markets change. We want to make sure the government wasn't the problem. And we're seeing, again, more timber coming off the
If you're reelected November 6th, what's your top priority for the 7th?
So what's key is when you recognize that my district has small businesses. And I'm a guy who believes in smart rules and smart regulation. I don't want no rules and no regulation, not a free-for-all. But if you have government rules and regulations that are too burdensome, large corporations, they can comply with those fairly easily. It's the small companies that don't have the economies of scale that can't deal with those rules and regulations. So helping the administration continue to streamline those rules and regulations is what helps rural America, which helps my communities. Making sure we're continuing to do reform in the banking space, which is my committee, so our small community banks and credit unions can actually still thrive and grow and serve rural America. What we don't want to see happen is just satellite or branches in our small towns and decisions being made in Milwaukee, where we are today, or in Chicago or Minneapolis. You want small banks to be based in the small town. And when you do that, I think you get better results. And so we're going to look at continuing to work on rules and regulations. I think we want to work on infrastructure. And the president has talked to us. We're looking at getting 40% of resources driven to rural America. Continue to fund a broadband build out. Fighting to make sure, one of the issues that we have is that even if you look at poverty programs, I'm on the housing and insurance subcommittee, I chair it. I have all insurance, but health insurance. We got to make sure that in housing and in healthcare, we get our fair share of the money in rural America. And that doesn't always happen. So we want to fight for that. And just on a personal level on my committee, I'm working on this right now, but I hope to get this done next year, housing finance reform. Think of the last 08 crisis. It came from the housing sector. And if nothing, the Dodd-Frank Act didn't do anything on housing finance. We want to reform housing finance, make it work a little bit better, still make sure you have 30-year mortgages and make sure we have low mortgage rates. But if we can get private capital in first dollar loss positions instead of the government, I think you have better loans that are made. So we're looking at redoing that right now, and it probably won't happen this year, but hopefully next year as well.
You were the house manager of the Puerto Rico financial package. Puerto Rico then got devastated by two hurricanes. Are we looking at another financial package of Puerto Rico, which is a long way from the 7th District?
So, but just to be clear, Puerto Ricans are Americans.
Yes, they are.
You know, and I think as a U.S. congressman, I look at the interests all across our country that not just affect my district, my state, but also in Minnesota and Michigan. And I had a package that, again, I thought it was relevant to my committee that would help Puerto Rico. They have a massive debt and got a debt crisis. And so what I think we need to do is a couple fold. One, they have to be able to rebuild the island. Energy is an issue on the island. Their energy company, PREPA, I think has to be privatized. But one of the issues that Puerto Rico has, and I've talked to their governor about this, is they need to do reforms in Puerto Rico that make Puerto Rico a great home for investment. You know, we can do things in the federal government that make Puerto Rico a great investment, but if they're run like a third world country and you have rules and regulations and, I'm not going to say corruption, but you have a lot of things that make it hard for people to invest, clear that stuff out. Make themselves a place to invest. And it's a beautiful American island with American laws, with American currency, with great people. They can do their part, and we can see this island thrive. But it's a problem now. They're so underwater, and their electrical system is so bad.
It's from the 1950s, 1960s.
It is. I mean, they were strung together on palm trees sometimes. It's that bad. Here's what has to happen. We rebuilt the power grid, and it's, again, above ground. If you go to southeast Florida, when hurricanes hit, the power doesn't go because it's buried. They need to bury their lines. It's gonna cost some money. Here's what I want, though. I want to see us set Puerto Rico up to successfully take care of themselves, have opportunity in Puerto Rico so they have enough revenue to care for their people instead of being a drain on the main island American taxpayer, taking resources that help people. Let's set them up to be successful themselves. And that's thoughtful on our part, but also thoughtful on the Puerto Rican government's part.
You're often on national TV defending President Trump. What's he done best in the first 17 months, and what has disappointed you?
So I look at the economy. I mean, this economy is roaring. That's because of his leadership on taxes, on regulation. Barack Obama couldn't get ISIS. Donald Trump in 8 months destroyed ISIS. I look at the potential success in North Korea. You know, the Kim Jong-un regime are the liars and cheaters, so I'm not singing any songs of success today. But it looks like we might get success there. I like that he puts America first. I like that he's fighting for the very men and women that I serve as well, people who have not been looked after. I'm happy that he's fighting on the trade issue, trying to make it better for America. I think we're going to get a win on our dairy milk and the unfair trade in the Series 7 milk with Canada.
Canada.
And we're going to get some success there as well. All positive things. Here's the drawback. And again, though I like that he's a fighter, we're Wisconsin nice. We really are. I mean, we don't talk the way the president talks. We don't tweet the way the president tweets. So though you have some great successes, the tone is different than what we use in the Midwest. And I think that's probably one of the biggest problems that he has with the tone and the tenor. And again, maybe men are a little more okay with it, but it's really offensive to a lot of moms and women out there. And I think I guess that would be my positive versus the negative. But I also think if you look at the president's poll numbers sitting at 50%, the kind of negative news he gets, I'm just going to tell you this, Democrats think it's great, we're going to say Russia, 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 we're going to say Mueller, and we're going to say Comey, and we're going to say Stormy Daniels, and every news outlet, you know, flashing sirens of news stories every hour of every day. I love this stuff, and I turn it off. I can't watch it anymore. This just becomes white noise. And I tell you, especially in my district, people have a sense of fairness. There's plenty of stuff to hit President Trump on. I might not agree with it, but you could fairly, you know, go after him on certain issues. But I think the left-wing media goes after him on everything, and everything's a crisis, and the world's burning down every day. And people just kind of turn that off because they care more about what's happening in their house than the White House, and the economy's going pretty good. They feel a little safer, a little more secure. Things are going great in America. That's why optimism, per a CNN poll, right direction, is at 57%. It used to be, when we won the House in 2010, Obama's was at 27%. Those changes have had a real impact on people's lives. And so as I look at this, I think the benefits of the economy and the security far outweigh the tonal issues that people have with the president.
Time for the Mueller investigation to be shut down?
Not shut down, but wrapped up.
Wrapped up.
Yeah,
okay.
Listen, I think...
You believe him when he says no collusion, witch hunt?
When the president says it, absolutely. I mean, there are no secrets in Washington. Everything gets leaked out. Everything is leaked. You can't keep a secret there. And the president can't have confidential conversations without them being leaked. With foreign leaders, even, they get leaked. There is no collusion there. I mean, I've said this before, but the president could barely collude with the Republican Party, let alone collude with the Russians. And if he did, I'd be the first one to stand up and condemn it and apologize that I got it wrong. But I don't see that having happened. I do think it's a witch hunt in that you have, I mean, it's outrageous that you have a Democrat-funded dossier by Hillary Clinton and the DNC. They get Fusion GPS, and it goes to Christopher Steele, who gets double, triple, quadruple hearsay from the Russians. They're the ones that colluded with the Russians, not Donald Trump. And then it's that dossier that's a foundation to go after a sitting president that came from Hillary Clinton. There's something wrong with that. And by the way, we investigate crimes, not people. Now it just seems like a free-for-all going after the president, trying to get a pound of flesh. And so I don't like it. Now some of my people on my side will say, well, go after Hillary Clinton. And what I want to have happen is I want to find out what Russia did. I want to find out if there are politics played at the FBI and the DOJ and who was playing it. Was there a secret plan to undo the will of this election or not? And if we shine light on those issues, and if those issues existed, we have to clean out the FBI, we have to clean out the DOJ if they existed, and if not, we have to tell the American people so we can trust the FBI and the DOJ again. But there's real problems there now that have to, I think, be investigated, exposed, because we give the FBI and the DOJ great power, and they keep us safe. And if they abuse that power, we'll take it away. And if we do, we're less safe. I would prefer that they have the power, but they use it judiciously and not for personal political purposes. And that's why not only do we look at what's going on with President Trump, but I think we have to take a look at the FBI and the DOJ as well. And I'm concerned. The requests we've made in Congress for documentation and information, they haven't been willing to provide that to us. And when we've got it, it's embarrassing for them, but no national secrets are being divulged in the information. All this is embarrassing. They're trying to protect themselves as opposed to secrets of the American people, which, again, give me some pretty broad concern.
Do we have any constitutional crisis if the president fired Rod Rosenstein and
no.
Mr. Mueller?
Listen, a constitutional crisis, he has every right. The constitutional crisis is something other than the president firing someone who he is absolutely warranted in firing. You might have a political crisis on your hands, but not a constitutional crisis.
Is it a constitutional crisis if there's a subpoena issued for the president?
No. I think it's an issue that the Supreme Court will resolve. The Supreme Court will have to say, well, does the president have to testify to the grand jury per the subpoena or provide testimony to the Mueller team? The Supreme Court decides that, and I think everyone would abide by that decision. And how that comes out, there's scholars on both sides, whether the president has to sit for an interview or doesn't. I'll leave it to the Supreme Court, let them decide, and we can roll forward there. But I'll leave you, I know we're going to probably end here. I would just tell you that I think that this country, and on the issue that we're talking about, is so divided. They're so divided in their, you can tell you I have a certain perspective. You can talk to somebody else who has, just they're convinced that Donald Trump colluded with the Russians and you should be thrown in jail. We have to do a better job, not just in the media, but as members of Congress, talking about the people that we serve with, and though we might disagree with them, that there's a humanity in everyone with which we serve. I talk about Maxine Waters often. Maxine Waters, she's a ranking member on financial services. We don't agree on much of any politics. We really don't. She wants to impeach the president. I support the president. But Maxine is a nice person. And she's a mom, she's a grandma, she's a, you know, she's a nice lady, who, again, I don't agree with, but I don't have to hate Maxine Waters. I don't have to hate my mom, who's a Democrat. We can love people. We can like people who we disagree with, and we can have a disagreement. We can even have a conversation on it, but we don't have to go, okay, we can't talk anymore. I'm going to delete you from Facebook and no more tax because you're a Trump supporter and I'm a, you know, I'm a Bernie guy. Well, why is that? We all have to do better jobs of leading in our families. I have to do a better job of making sure people understand. I talk to Republicans all the time about the good people that are Democrats. There's only a few jerks that make it in these jobs. And there are some, but most people are really nice. They're just, I think they're wrong on some issues, but they're nice people. And we have to stop hating so much in this toxic political environment, because I think it's ripping our country apart, and that's not good for anybody.
Quick final question. Why did you pass on running for the U.S. Senate?
So my daughter's a senior, and she's going to the college for the first time. It might get easier with the second, third, or fourth child. This has been hard for me as a dad to see my daughter finish up school. Not only that, my wife had some opportunities on Fox News. She was doing some more there. And your family can only do so much. And, you know, I like my job. I like serving my community. I got a third of the state. And I like my committee assignment, so that, you know, it was easy for me to go, you know what, maybe there's a role for me in a different position at some other point, but this is not the right time for me and my family. I'm still young enough. I'll have chances and opportunities in the future, but today I love the opportunities my wife has had, and I just want to spend more time with my wife and my daughter as she's about to head out the door and go to college.
Where's she going to go?
She got into the University of Wisconsin in Madison. She was going to go there, but she also then got in. She was on the wait list, but then she got into the University of Chicago, which is, I think, like the third best college in the country after Harvard and Yale, I think.
You'd also have to write bigger checks for that, Dad.
Well, they also will leave that alone. But yes,
okay.
I'll just tell you this. Going through this process, the financial aid system and how we're doing the cut, that whole thing is broken. It's having to do it myself. I'm like, oh my God, this needs some reform.
Understand.
So okay. It's great to have to use these things, use these programs yourself, and realize how they have to be changed and modified to actually work better, I think, for families and for kids.
Well, good luck to your college freshman.
Thank you.
And 7th District Congressman Sean Duffy.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking time.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Thank you.